In fact, he says in his word that we are to remind him that God is not forgetful, but he says we are to remind him of his blessing. Amen. And we need to be specific in our blessing, right? Amen. Sometimes people say, well, I pray for everybody. Well, really, when you say you pray for everybody, really, you'll pray for nobody. We need to be specific. When you pray for your pastor, call him by name. Amen? You can be like the lady that said, I pray for my pastor, even though he ain't no good. Well, we don't want that type of prayer, do we? We want to pray for him because he is good, and he is working for the Lord, and he is working for you. And you may not know how much a pastor prays for you. I've been in that position for many years as a pastor, and we labor. Sometimes walking by the seat where somebody sits and just praying, because people sit in a specific seat most of the time. And the pastor, when you're home, probably not thinking about it. He's here at the church. He says, I know that she sits here. I know that Sister Pat sits here. I know that Sister, whatever your name is, you sit there. I know that James is going to be sitting here. So sometimes the pastor will come into the church when nobody else is there and just pray for you Pacific. Amen. Isn't it good to have a pastor like that? We have a pastor like that. And the former Brother Jerry this morning. God bless you, Pastor. We love you. We're going to continue to love you. Continue to labor for the people. Amen? Amen. God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor Logan. I always enjoy learning from his aged wisdom that God has given him over the years. He's been a successful pastor all those years, and now he's still mentoring other pastors. He's mentoring me. He's mentoring his son-in-law, who he gave the church over to. He's mentoring others, so we're just so thankful that Pastor Logan's not, he's retired officially in the capacity, but he's not really, you know. That's just for earthly people to think, oh, I'm a retired pastor. No, he's not ever going to retire from the Lord's service. And that's how we all need to be. We all need to keep on giving what we can, as long as we can, while we're here, because that's where we get our joy from. We're installing two new nursery workers this morning and next Sunday morning. We have Sister Therese, already went back there. She's helping this morning. And then Sister Maria Price is helping next Sunday. So that's a blessing when we can install new servants of the Lord in the church who are just loving to help people, loving to help God's people. And God's going to bless them more than they ever give to God. God's going to give more to them just in the joy and the returns on serving God. Because we can never outgive God. What a blessing. Let us turn to our bulletin. Does anyone need a bulletin? We'll be happy to get one to you. Raise your hand if you need a bulletin. We'll get one to you. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. What a blessing to know that it's always the right time to serve the Lord. It's always the right time to bless the Lord, to praise Him. And you know what that does? It drives discouragement out the door. Amen. When you praise God, when you start singing, when you start praising amidst the trials, you know what happens to discouragement, fear, doubts, worry? Do you know what happens to them? They all have to leave because you just praised the Lord. And you brought Him into your presence. And He inhabits the praises of His people. So you just brought God very close. What a blessing. We have some good news that happened this week. Ebony had a healthy baby boy on January 18th, and my wife and I got to go and see them, see Brian and Cheryl and Ebony. And so there's a little picture on the back of the bulletin there of Ebony's healthy baby boy, Xavion Lee Adams, with 6 pounds, 7 ounces. We're thankful. She had a very real scare. She lost 2 pints of blood during the giving birth, but we're thankful God kept her. The doctors knew what to do. Her mom was right there with her, and we're just so thankful that God blessed with a healthy baby boy and helped Ebony to get back and recovering. And so keep praying for her. Pray also for Carol and Roy. They're hurting in their legs this week, and they went to the doctor, and that went well. We pray for Renee Wilkes. She's the one. Cheryl's friend down in Florida, she had fluid around her heart and she fell down the steps. So she has stitches now around her head. So let's pray for Renee. She's She's even amidst all that, she's home now, and she's wanting to send baby bottles to Ebony. That's Renee's spirit. So she's fighting amidst the trials and tribulations of life. She says, I'm trusting in the Lord. Then pray for Peggy as she had this biopsy. And I guess Peggy's not here this morning. Find out how that biopsy went. Pray for her that she does not have cancer. And let's pray for souls to be saved. This Saturday, we're going out soul winning. Starting it back up this Saturday morning, 10:30 here at the church. And we're going to go out into the neighborhoods and go door to door and tell people about Jesus. It's always a blessing. Some doors may say no, but there's always going to be a door where somebody's searching. And you never know what God is doing this week to prepare them for that visit. And it's just amazing. I just watch and see, and I'm amazed time after time how the Holy Spirit just opens up hearts to hear the gospel. Then we are planning a progressive dinner for Friday, February 28th. We've done this in years past, and it was a great success. So we talked about it on Sunday night, and everyone there wanted to do it. So we have the soup salad course is we're still waiting on word for that. Then main course is Jerry and Mimi Umflett at 349 Sunflower Drive, and then the dessert course is at our house next door. Looking forward to this, and now we have some different homes in our congregation. We're thankful for that. Then on the back page, Paul Rice is inviting all those who would like to play an instrument to bring your instruments. All those who play instruments, even if you are a beginner at your instrument, or if you're intermediate level, or if you're accomplished in your instrument, bring it out and play it in church on Sunday, February 23rd at 10:45 at morning worship service, and it'll be a great time to have more instruments, praising the Lord, just like they did in the Old Testament. We'd love to have an orchestra here. So if you can bring your instrument that Sunday, the songs, Paul wanted you to know the songs ahead of time, so the songs are in here. If you want to start practicing those, feel free to, we can lend you a hymn book. We have extra Living Hymns hymn books that are different colors, but they're just as good with the same songs. So if you would like a hymn book, let me know, and we'll let you take one home. We have them back there. Then a special church business meeting Sunday, February 23rd, to finish talking over the budget with slight changes to that. Then Master Club regional competition and Teen Talents for Christ at the in the spring. Any other announcements that need to be mentioned? All right. Any other announcements? It's good to have some visitors with us. Want to welcome Pat's good friend Michelle and little Juan Carlos, right?
Right.
Amen. Good to have you with us, Michelle and Juan Carlos. And so glad that you're here with us today. And are there any other first-time visitors? Don't believe any other first-time. It's good to have return visitors that we haven't seen in a while. We're glad to have you back. Glad to have Kathy back. And it's good to be with her today. And we're just so thankful for each one of you. At this time, we'll ask our ushers to come. We also are signing up for our church banquet on February 16th, so 2 weeks from today. Today's the 2nd. Next Sunday is the 9th. The Sunday after that is the 16th. We're going to have a big 26th anniversary celebration. We're going to show a slideshow of how the church started and get some updated pictures in there. So if anyone has updated pictures of church people, please give us your photos. Yeah, go see Jonathan after church today if you want to share some photos or email them to us. Our email is... if you want to write it down, it's jerrycarey@gmail.com. If you want to email your updated church photos that you'd like to share, jerrycarey@gmail.com. And we want to show a nice slideshow. And then we're going to go out to a restaurant for lunch in Linwood, La Pizza Tega in Linwood. And the price is all-inclusive. For a buffet, it includes your tax, your tip, and your drink. And it's $18 and all, and a nice little buffet there, and a nice, very nice, high-quality food, Italian restaurant. So if you can join us, it's $18, and then kids are $9.99 each. And we'd love to have you come and celebrate with us our 26th church anniversary, and then Pastor Mel Hall will then close the day right there at the restaurant with an afternoon service right after lunch. So please join us for that special day. There's a sign-up list at the back there to get. And then we also have teens. If we can have our teens pass in your cell phones, we'll put the box. Don't worry, we'll keep the box. That way, your phone is not a distraction to keep you from the Lord. There's so many distractions, text messages coming in all during the worship service. Satan is designing your phone to take you away from what God would have you learn this morning. We don't want that to happen. Our job as the pastor and the leadership of the church, our job is to help you to concentrate. We only have one, very short time, a very short time to worship God. So let's make it count for the Lord and count for eternity. And so if you can pass in your phones into the box, Messiah is coming around with the box. That would be very, very important. This time we'll ask our ushers to come as we give to the Lord of our tithes and offerings to God. God says, Paul said, freely ye have received, freely give. That as we have freely received from the Lord all the great blessings that we have in life, let us freely give back to God, and He will give us more in return so that we can then be blessed. So let us have God bless our finances. Let us bow together in prayer.
Dear God, we thank you for the day that you have made. And we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity, Lord, to be in the house to worship. Thank you, Lord, for the amount of giving and blessing you. And we thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Find the red hymnal somewhere there. Everyone have a red hymnal? Had an evangelist ask us one time, had everybody raised up, how many of you have a red Bible? Any of you have a red Bible? So, I mean, all of you don't have a red Bible? All your Bibles should be red every day, right? Okay, in the red hymnal, number 304, 304, and if you would stand once again, please.
Up. King's family. I'm adopted, hallelujah, I've got a new song. I'm adopted, hallelujah, I finally belong. I've got a brand new family flowing over with love. I'm a child of my Father above.
One more time on the chorus.
I'm adopted, hallelujah, I finally belong. I'm adopted, hallelujah, I finally belong. I've got a brand new family overflowing with love. I'm a child of my Father.
How many never sung that song before? Raise your hand. Okay, it's a nice newer song. Tells about our relationship since we've been saved with the Lord. We're not just children of our parents anymore. We are children of God as well. What a blessing. Not children of the devil anymore. This is from the new hymn book that we got down in Williamsburg when we were there, the Bible Truth Hymn Book. And we did get 15 copies for the choir, so they just came in this week as well. So choir, come on out tonight as we have a new hymn book to start learning from. And that's at 6:15 tonight for choir.
Thank you.
Amen. 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 What a blessing to know everything is for God's glory. And when our life is for God's glory, that's when everything falls into place. When we realize that, when we put everything in God's hands and start doing everything for Him, that's when everything makes sense in life. This time we'll dismiss our junior church children and toddler church and nursery to go for their special times. Those sixth grade and younger to go for their special times. The rest of us, let's turn to our Bibles this morning as we look into God's Word. Titus chapter 2 before communion this morning. Titus chapter 2. Now we're looking at the young men. What does God say regarding the young men? God has four different age group and age brackets here. He has the aged men, the aged women, then the young women, and the young men. We looked at the young women last time, and now we're looking at the young men this morning. It's a blessing to have young men in church this morning. The blessing that you've heard God's call to worship Him, and you're here. You're not doing what the world is doing. You're in church. You're setting yourself apart for God in church, and that's a great blessing. Now God wants to continue to grow you and bless you and prosper you from here. But he can only do that as we continue to yield ourselves to Him. Titus chapter 2 and verse 6. Titus chapter 2, right near the end of the Bible. If you find Revelation, just go back a few books and you'll find Titus. Titus chapter 2 and verse 6. Let us bow together in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time to look into Your Word. We thank You for calling us apart from the busy activities of our life to meditate on You and Your Word and to worship You. Lord, we know that You are the reason why all this is here, because You loved us so much that you created the first man, the first woman, and told them to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And they have done that, and Noah and his family, his kids have done that. And we're here today as a result, Lord. We pray that You would help us to cast aside any distractions from this world, that we might focus fully on You and Your Word in these moments. You would show us what we need to do this week. Show us what we need to put on from the Word of God. Show us what we need to put off from things that are fleshly and carnal and worldly and things that are taking us down. Lord, help us to be courageous enough to obey You, to put those things off and to put on the things You tell us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Titus 2, verse 6. Let's read it together, verses 6 through 8. Titus 2, 6 through 8. Let's read it together. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Okay, so we see here, looking at the same frame of reference, okay, what is the goals for this lesson? The goals for God's Word is that young men need, and young adults in general, young ladies, young men, that they need to know exactly what is expected of them from God and how to do those things. These are working paradigms, literally examples or models to follow. Young men and young ladies need to be mentored by older men and older ladies in the Lord. And so I'd encourage you, young people here today, those in their 20s, those in your teens, those in your 30s, to look up to somebody here in the church. Latch on to them. Say, hey, teach me. Teach me the Word of God. Teach me how to be a successful Christian. Because you're not going to get that example from the world. The world is not going to show you how to be a successful Christian. But God wants to show you how to be a successful Christian by looking at His people here in the church. In the church, the church is a wonderful place where we hear good news. We hear people getting saved all the time. And just as on Friday morning, a man at the VA clinic professed faith in Christ, and he was going to come out Sunday, and something came up. But let us pray for him. The devil's quickly trying to take the seed of the Word of God out of his life, trying to take that profession of faith and make him fall back immediately and have no fruits. Okay, so the devil is trying to do that every day, trying to take God's word out of our life and trying to take any growth out of our life. But let us not let him be like that bird that comes and it eats the seed and goes on its way. Let the soil of our life not be hard, but be cold. Let God cultivate it this morning. Let God use his cultivating instruments on our heart to let it become soft and to let the seed take root in our heart, to let it come in and grow. That the devil wants to take it away like the seed on the wayside. The devil wants, and then if it starts getting some root somewhere, then he wants it to be like the stony ground where, just make your heart a little harder. You know, put some stones in there. Don't let it be easy for the Holy Spirit. You know, come on, you gotta fight against God a little bit because you want what you want. Well, that's what the devil's trying to say. Put some stones in there. Or those stones will choke out the word. And it'll take root for a little bit, and it'll grow for a little bit, but then through the cares of life, pretty soon your faith will start withering and shrinking. Why? Because it has no roots. Because there's too many stones there. Too much of the world is still there, and it's choking out the word. And then Jesus said, it's like the next seed fell on thorny ground, where immediately it took root because there was dirt there, and it started growing up. But then the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and what everyone else is living for started choking around that young plant and choked it out. Don't be like that Christian who falls to the wayside after some months and goes back into the things of the world. You know what? You will be the most miserable person ever. Why? Because you're saved, but you're not living for God. See, the devil wants to make us, he wants to say, all right, well, I can't get them back. They're saved from hell, so I'll just make them miserable by tantalizing them with the things that I want to give them, with sin that will destroy them. And so he tries to make us miserable. Instead, Jesus said, be like the good ground, where we let God cultivate our heart till it's soft, fertile soil, and then that plant takes root, starts growing, and it keeps growing, and it keeps growing, and it becomes a beautiful plant that gives off 30-fold of fruit, 60-fold of fruit, some 100-fold of fruit, and where other Christians are then won by that one Christian. That one Christian is bringing many more people to Christ because of the way they're living, and they're influencing many more to be discipled and to stay close to God by the way they're living. We need to decide what kind of soil our heart's going to be. What kind of soil that God is going to let that we are going to let God work with? Are we going to let God just have a little bit, be like the wayside where it's gone, or be like the stony ground, or be thorny ground, or is it going to be fertile ground for God? Let us let God do His work. So Titus 2 verse 6: Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. That means that sober-minded means a realistic view of life and of the world and of ourself and of God. Seeing that some people, they focus only on their strengths. That's the idealistic view. And they see themselves as better than others. Some are very pessimistic and they see only their weaknesses. And they think, oh, I can't do anything. I'm worse than everybody. I can't do anything, so I'm going to be a failure. No, we can't have either of those. We can't think we're better than others. We can't think we're worse than others. We need to have a sober-minded view. Yes, we have many strengths that God has given us, but we also have many weaknesses, areas of temptation, perhaps things we're not as good at, besetting sin. So we've got to be realistic and say, okay, let me use my strengths for God. Let me let God cultivate my strengths, and so that I can help them to grow to offset my weaknesses, and to realize where I need to depend on God more in these areas of life, and let me be close to God. That's a sober-minded individual, and that's the one that's going to grow for the Lord. So let us be sober-minded as young men, sometimes they're so, I'm not too far away from that. I was a young man at one point. I'll be turning 40 this year, so getting up there. Okay, but at one point in my life, you know, everything was, I could do anything, you know, and everything can be accomplished. And, you know, you're young, you're strong, and you can put your energy in a lot of different things. But we have to realize that, you know what, that's, God gave idealism for youth, and God gave that energy and inspiration for youth. But then we have to temper that with soundness, with sober-mindedness, with saying, okay, wait, let me, sure, I can do any number of things, but let me do what is most important. Let me spend my time on what is most important, not playing video games all day, but hey, let me start serving the Lord. Let me read my Bible first. Let me pray first so that God, I can ask God for wisdom on how to best use my day. That's the wise young person. That's the wise young person that says, you know what? Let me put in the most fruitfulness for God, because that's when I'll be truly blessed and happy. And that's what we need to do. That's what young people need to do. Sober-mindedness. Next thing is to, in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. Okay? That young people need to look to the Word of God for the pattern of good works. And then another place they can look, as it says here, in all things thyself, Titus. So Titus was a young man, just like the other young men that he had in his church. And so Paul is now telling Titus, thyself, Titus, you need to be a pattern of good works that you expect the others to be. That you show them the example of how to be that sound Christian man. Christian young man, Titus, because there's many worldly temptations that are out there, and so they need to see you doing it well, and then they'll follow your example. And that's what we see here, that Paul told Titus, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works. If everyone were to look just at you this morning, would they be able to follow you from today, Sunday, into Monday, into Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday? If they followed you all week, would they be able to see the pattern of good works for God? Would they see your full reliance on the Lord Jesus Christ in your life? Or would there be some things you'd say, ooh, I don't want you to go with me on this day. Or, man, don't show up on that day. See, we have to be consistent as Christians. We have to realize that God wants us all to become a pattern of good works. God wants us all to be exactly who we need to be so that others can watch us and then be blessed. See, you are influencing someone. You and I are influencing someone. Okay, you say, yes, Pastor, you have a family. You're influencing your family. Yes, you have a family. You're influencing your family. You're influencing some in your family. Whether it be your parents, whether it be your children, whether it be your brother, your sister, whether it be your cousins, your nieces, your nephews, your aunts, your uncle, your mom, your dad, you are influencing somebody. Either they are having to compensate against your influence and go to God, or they are following you and going toward the Lord. See, we're doing one of those two things. And so we need to realize our pattern in our life needs to show good works for God. Starting with getting in the Word each day. On the back table there, we have some reading through the Bible in a year calendars. I encourage you to pick one of those up. That you can either do it chronologically, which is the way it was written. So you'll be going from 1 Samuel to Psalms, and then 2 Samuel to some of the Psalms. And you can go through chronologically. It's a fascinating way to read the Bible, because then you read it as it was written during each time period. So you might go from Genesis to Job, then over to Exodus, and then, because Job was written around the same time as Abraham, okay? And so it's a really neat way. So take one of those chronological Bible sheets, or take one of the reading through the Bible in a year, just straight through Genesis, Revelation, or reading through the New Testament. If you've never read the New Testament yet, start there. Start with Matthew, and then just keep reading a chapter, two chapters, three chapters, four chapters each day. You pick something and say, Lord, help me to keep this. And the Lord will. He'll help you to keep it. And you'll find your love for God is going to grow. And you're going to say, ooh, I want to read more. Some nights you may just sit there and you might read a whole book. Why? Because the Lord is growing you in your life. that he wants to grow us and give us a hunger and thirst for the Word of God. So take one of those sheets. Then on the other side of the back table there, there's another back table. And first of all, we want all our members, if you are a member of Northfield Baptist, please take one of these verse plaques to put up on your wall. There's all kinds of different verses in there. There's a box, and it has some. We gave them out last week at the annual business meeting, but we want to not every one of the members was there. So please take one of these with you, one per member, and put this on your wall. And it just adorns your wall with Scripture, with the Word of God, and it's a great way to be reminded to keep God first in your life. And if you're not a member and you're interested in purchasing them, see me, and I can work on getting you those and seeing how much they would cost. They're about a few bucks, so we can get that to you if you're not a member. Then also on the side table there, along with those pictures for members, is we have the Christian Living series. This is a great way, as you read the Word of God each day this year. If you read one chapter a day or two chapters a day, you say, well, I can't read very well. Well, read some verses. Read 5 verses a day. Read 10 verses a day. Start with something and ask the Lord to help you. And sure enough, He will. You'll find you'll get more and more of a hunger for the Word of God. Well, on the table there with the verses, we also have Lesson 1 through Lesson 6, the Christian Living Series. If you've never had a discipleship course, this is a discipleship course. This will literally take you through the important doctrines of the Bible to get grounded as a Christian. If you've never been grounded before, if you've never been discipled by anyone before, I encourage you, take these sheets. Start with Lesson 1, and then just go up to Lesson 6. And each sheet is very, very fascinating. As you learn more about, the first sheet is who we are before the new birth, the human position, the history of sin, the elements of the new birth, then the results of the new birth, how Christ changes us. So it's very easy. You just fill in the blank with, there's a verse, Isaiah 53:6. You look up Isaiah 53:6. I was like a sheep going astray. And you just fill in from the verse that blank. And so it's very easy to fill out, and this will exercise your mind and your heart to get stronger. You know, young men love to go to the gym to build muscles, right? And I see some guys here that are buff. Okay, we want to exercise our body to build strength and to maintain fitness. Well, God wants us to, as well, maintain spiritual fitness. Now, the only way we can do that is if we exercise ourselves with the Word of God. So I encourage you, start with one of these lessons. Maybe you want to skip right to Lesson 2, Christian Growth and Local Church Life. This talks about baptism. What is biblical baptism? What does it mean? And then church membership, then the Lord's Supper, and then number 3, Bible study and prayer. So take one that interests you and start there and just ask the Lord to help you to grow. And I encourage you, once you finish all 6, you will be a discipled Christian. You will get grounded in the Word of God. You will now have answers that you didn't have before. You will now be able to answer other people's questions that you did not know before. Why? Because you have taken this course. The last course, which is Lesson 6, is on Christians and the Future, Bible Prophecy. It has a fascinating map at the back, and it tells you what is coming in the future. The rapture, the millennial kingdom, the tribulation, all those things. And so it has a nice timeline, so I encourage you to do this course. God will bless you in 2020. The world makes their resolutions to do this or that, to lose weight, and this and that and the other, and many people keep their resolutions, many do not. But those things may profit a little bit, especially in the body. But what is even more important is to profit for eternity. And the way that we do that is by making decisions as Christians to profit for eternity. Okay, so here, verse 7. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 9:24-27. 1 Corinthians 9:24-27. As we work out, as we take care of our body, as we do these things, here the Apostle Paul likens that to our Christian life. 1 Corinthians 9,
24. I found out in my own body last year that if I ate too much, if I drank too much acid, such as coffee, too many tomatoes or tomato sauce, or too many other acid foods, what was starting to happen to my body was I was getting way too much acid, starting having acid reflux and all the bad symptoms from that. So I realized I either have to change the way I eat, or my body is going to literally start working against itself. Okay, so I had a choice to make. Either I was going to get healthier, or, you know, I was going to be in pain. And so I said, Lord, help me. You know, you're trying to get my attention in this area. Okay, let me be more self-controlled. And sure enough, I asked the Lord for help, and he, you know, put things in my life and different people and nutrition things. And now I'm better. I make better choices on what I eat. And you know what? I'm reaping the rewards in my body because I don't have that acid nearly as much as I did. Okay, so a simple thing like that is a resolution that is good for the body. But and I've also lost weight because of it, and as well. So Paul likens that as we take care of this earthly temple that's temporary, that is winding down and wearing down, and one day we'll go down into the ground, and we will die, and our soul and spirit will go up to God. Well, here he likens that to the Christian life. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Know ye not? Let's read this together. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Let's all turn there. It's back a few books from Titus. So it's everyone turn there. If you can't find it, raise your hand, and a Christian right near you will help you. Okay. 1 Corinthians 9:24. All cell phones need to be handed in. Okay. Okay, Armani, please hand it in. Okay, this is for your benefit. This is so that the devil doesn't get that hold on you. It's a very dangerous thing. We can't play with the devil. It's like playing with fire. We can't control fire. It's once it starts burning, it burns. Yes, 1 Corinthians 9:24. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Know ye not, read it with me, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. So here we see self-control is very important. It goes along with the word sober-mindedness. Self-control is so important. As an athlete competes, you know, let's say Brother Daniel Soto here, he's lifting weights. Let's say he's competing and just trying to be the best, weightlifter. Is he going to do it just kind of willy-nilly and, well, one week I'll go to the gym, the next week I won't, and I'll just show up competition day and just do my best. Is he going to win?
No.
He's not going to win. Why? Because he didn't put in the effort. But if he puts in the effort, if he practices each week and disciplines himself and eats the right foods and eats the right proteins and all these things, he can do well. But that's what Paul is talking about. Know that they not, that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. That a competitor for the Olympics, when they run, they work at hard every day until the Olympics. And they are working hard. Why? They're always training, always stretching, always expending energy. Why? Because they want to win. Okay? It doesn't really matter if they win fifth or eighth or tenth. You know, they want to win first. Well, that's what in the Christian life, God is comparing the Christian life to that training. That if we want to defeat the devil and defeat our flesh, which is probably the worst enemy of the three, the devil, the flesh, and the world. If we want to defeat our flesh, it's constantly telling us to do things it shouldn't. Who's in charge of us, our flesh or our will? See, we've been given a will, and our spirit drives our will. And we need to tell using the mind of Christ that God has given us as we put on more and more of the Word of God, we need to tell our flesh to get lost. No, I know you want me to overeat today, but I'm not going to do it. I know you want me to look at that over there, but I'm not going to do it. I know you want me to watch this over here, but it's not glorifying to God. I'm not going to do it. And I know you want to do something that's not good and wicked, but I'm not going to let you do it, hand, because I'm in charge. See, we've got to literally tell our body what it needs to do every day. Our nose cannot control us. If your nose controls you, you'll be putting things in that you shouldn't put in to your body. If your eyes control you, you'll be going places you shouldn't go. You'll be seeing things you shouldn't see. If your ears control you, oh, I've got to have that music. I've got to have that sensual music. Well, guess what? Your ears are going to take you places where you shouldn't go. And so we cannot let our ears, our eyes, our nose, our mouth, our hands, or our feet tell us what to do in life. Paul says we have to keep under. He says, I keep under my body, verse 27, and bring it into subjection. If we let our body tell us what to do, we'll be in and out of church. We'll be in and out of the Word of God. Some weeks in, some weeks out, whatever I feel like. Until, boom, God has to chasten us, you know, and all this, wake us up. Oh, I'm back in church. Well, don't let that slide and back into the carnal way of living again. So God has to, in a month or 2 months or 3 months, have to chasten you again. Stay close to God so He doesn't have to keep doing that. Exercise discipline in your life because you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. You and I have the Holy Spirit. We can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. We can gain victory over any addiction that is known to man. That's why Paul says, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. See, the worst thing in all of life is Christians who are hypocrites. They say, oh yeah, I love the Lord. Meanwhile, what are they doing over there? Well, they're smoking something. Something else. Oh, I love the Lord. And meanwhile, in their other hand, they have a bottle that they're trying to hide. Yeah. I love the Lord. Meanwhile, they're going to a dirty movie. I love the Lord. Meanwhile, they're downloading pornographic images. The world quickly is turned off by that. Your friends will see right through you. Your loved ones will see right through you. They'll say, I don't want the Christ that you have because He's very weak and very powerless. We don't have that Christ. We don't have a Christ that's weak and powerless and that we have to get defeated every day by this vice and this addiction and that problem and this. No, we have a Christ who is all-powerful, who is our very best friend, who lives within our heart, a Christ who went to Calvary and took our whipping for us when they lashed Him on the right side with 13 lashes with that horrible cat of nine tails with all those pieces of stone and bone and sharp glass, and they tore him on 13 sides this way. Each stroke, 9 lashes, literally tearing the skin off his left side. Then off the skin of his right side. Then they come down the middle of his back, and they tore the skin off Jesus, the middle of Jesus' back. Past 39 stripes. It was a Roman beating. And Jesus took our beating for us. Jesus, they ripped out Jesus' beard instead of us. They beat Jesus' face. They put the crown of thorns with long spikes down on His brow. They nailed Him up on Calvary. They nailed those nails into His hands and His feet. Why? Because Jesus took your punishment for you. He took my punishment for me. So we can win this battle. Jesus died so that sin could be forever defeated. So when you and I go back into carnality and go back into the world and let vices control us, what we're really doing is we're depending on our flesh and living carnally, and we're not being self-disciplined, self-controlled, living under the Spirit of God. We are not letting God do His full work. We may be getting victory in some areas, and that's good. It's better than none. We're getting victory in some areas, but Christ is all-powerful. He wants to give us victory in all areas. He wants to help us master our bodies so that we can keep under our body, so that we can fight not uncertainly, but as one that beateth the air, but one that beats the devil every time. The devil tries to put his best punch at us, and he tries to tempt us with this, hey, go watch that. Meanwhile, we're blocking, we're ducking, we're moving. Nope, the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And we give our flesh that knockout punch. Boom, it has to lie down for a while. The flesh has got to go take a rest. Why? Because it got beat hard. Because Jesus reigns in our life. The only way we can let Jesus reign is by living in the Word of God each day. Reading it, meditating on it, then praying through the day. When you get weak, my dad would always encourage people with cigarette addictions or alcohol, wherever you put your stash, put Bible verses, throw it all out, dump out in the sink, throw it all away, put Bible verses in replacement of all those spots. So that when you feel that craving coming on, you pull out a Bible verse, written on a 3x5 card. Jesus said, I have the flesh has no more dominion over me, but Christ has dominion. And thank you, Lord, for you're gonna give me victory. You're gonna help me. You're gonna help me quit cold turkey. You're gonna help me do this. And sure enough, I just met a Christian, actually, Holly's mom. She had a cigarette addiction her whole life. The doctor said, "Hey, listen, you need to stop smoking, or you're gonna die. You had a heart attack. You gotta stop." She stopped cold turkey. She hasn't picked up a cigarette since. That was about 2-3 months ago. It can be done, but it's got to be a decision of the will and of the mind to overrule the body. With God's help, it can be done. God is the one who can give us that victory. And He wants to do that every day. That's why He died on the cross, to give us victory. As we close, let us bow together as we close. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time to look into Your Word this morning. We thank You for the reminder of these important things, of how we as Your people can have great victory in our life. As the Apostle Paul says, I will not be brought under the power of any. Lord, that you showed us how we can live successful, victorious Christian lives if we will yield more and more to You each day. Let the Holy Spirit control us. Lord, we pray that You would do that in our life this year, that 2020 would be a year of great victory, a year of great improvement in our life, that we would see great miracles happen, Lord, as a result of Your keeping Your Word to us and how You will show us the path to victory in whatever area of life that needs to be defeated, Lord, that you'd give each one a victorious Christian life, Lord. Thank You for the way You are working in my life, Lord. Thank You that showing me that the only way to go is the Spirit-filled life, Lord. Thank You so much for that. Pray blessed now in this communion time. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask our deacon to come this morning and Pastor Logan to come as we have our communion time. 1 Corinthians
chapter 11 is where we read of the Lord's Supper table and what it means, the communion table. This is the second ordinance that God gave to the church. Jesus gave to the church. The first ordinance or command was that all believers be baptized. That after you get saved, then they get baptized. The second ordinance that Jesus gave was here in 1 Corinthians 11:23. 1 Corinthians 11:23. This is the church function. Written in 1 Corinthians 1, it says that it was written to the church at Corinth. So all those that were 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 1, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and so here they were called to be saints. They were saved. Then it says in verse 11 that he said, I baptized Gaius and Crispus. So then he's writing to them. They're saved. They're baptized. And there for the next day?
He added to the church.
And so as he writes to the church at Corinth, the saved, the baptized, the church members, he says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take ye, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." So the first purpose of communion is to show, or literally see a visible picture of what Jesus did for us. What did Jesus do? Well, as was mentioned earlier in the sermon, he gave his body. He broke it for us, literally broke it open. Literally, as he hung there, all his bones were out of joint. Literally, being pulled. Bones stare upon him as he hung there from the beating from his back. You could probably look and see into Jesus. He could see a bone protruding because there was like literally no flesh hanging there from the certain parts where he was whipped. My bones stare upon me. He says, he lost so much water, liquid. He fainted beneath the cross of him, and that was before he even got there. So can you imagine as he's hanging there, so dehydrated, lost so much blood. He says, my heart is like, it melts like wax in the midst of his heart was having such a tough time pumping because he had lost so much blood. There was very little blood to pump around. And so he's in excruciating pain, trying to get every breath. And yet, why did he do that? He did that because you and I have a real enemy, which is Satan. A real enemy, which is the devil, which is Satan. And a real enemy, which is our flesh. And God wants to give us victory. And Jesus gave us victory the day he died on that cross. Then he rose from the grave 3 days later. So every time we come to the communion table, as we look at the symbol of his body, which is the unleavened cracker. Again, as an unleavened, there's no yeast in it. Yeast in the Bible is a picture of sin. There's no yeast in it. Nothing can make it rise. So that why? Jesus said, Paul said, a little leaven. Leaven is the whole lump. Just a little bit of sin. How much yeast do you have to put in bread to make the whole loaf rise? Just a few kernels. You could just put a few kernels in that cracker. Just 1, 2, 3 little tiny pieces of yeast, and you'd have a thicker cracker. That's exactly what Jesus said. A little leaven. Paul said, "A little leaven, leaven is the whole lump." So Jesus was without sin. So when we partake of this piece of unleavened bread, that we are remembering Jesus without sin. And then, as we partake of this cup of grape juice, we see that there's a deep crimson. It's a deep color. It reminds us of blood. Reminds us of the blood of Jesus. Why? Because it was the shedding of his blood is the only thing that can save us. Without his perfect blood, we'd be lost. We'd be on our way to hell. We'd be without hope. But thank God for Jesus' blood, that he saved us. So these are symbols. They're not the actual body and blood, as some one church teaches that it becomes the body and it becomes the blood. No, Jesus never said that. He said these are symbols. These are elements that picture what he went through. And then the second part of communion is verse 28. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, carry one for another. So here we see that the second thing we need to do as we thank God for his son Jesus is then to also examine ourselves. Can I partake today? Am I right with the Lord today? Have I confessed all my sins to the Lord? Is there anything I'm holding on to? If there's something I'm holding on to, better not to partake and make the goal for next month to partake. Rather than partake and literally bring to ourselves an open wound or an open God's judgment upon us. So better to discern the Lord's body. That means to take it very, treat it very highly. We need to treat God, Jesus
body and blood very highly, that we don't think it's just a just another thing I do in church. I stand for prayer, I sing, I do this, that, and the other. We may do those things at times without thinking, but God, Jesus says, do not do this without thinking, without praying, without meditating first, and examining your own heart before the Lord. And don't worry, no one will judge you. If someone next to you sees you're not taking and you're just passing, they're not going to judge you. They're going to say, hey, that's between them and the Lord. It's not about someone, what someone thinks. It's about who I am, what I am currently doing in my life before God, and are my sins confessed. So let's have a time of silent prayer. Confess our sins.
God, we thank you, Lord, for this day, Lord, and God, we thank you for this opportunity to have to share in this ministry, having of this bread, Lord, that represents our Savior Christ, the God of the cross. God, I may be glorified as we give not remedy, but give the love. And God, we love you.
One of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ,
save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing. Given thanks, he brake it and said, Take ye, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. This man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, Certainly this was a righteous man. And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned. And all his acquaintance, and the women which had followed him from Galilee, stood afar off, beholding. Same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. Drink all and drink it in remembrance of me.
verse of Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Brother Danny, would you close?
David and the Philistines and King Saul and a witch.